back to another WEEM Weekly episode. I'm Kelly Ox here today. I'm joined by
Mariah Kupfer
and Claire Carpenter.
What do you guys do within the school?
So we are FCA huddle leaders.
Yep, we are seniors and here to help with any questions that students may have to deepen their faith. And we also have staff and adults who are more than happy to help us too.
What is FCA?
So FCA is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, but we sometimes like to call ourselves the Fellowship of Christian Anybodies because everyone is welcome to join. We meet weekly on Friday mornings to have short devotional style lessons that can help people deepen their faith and just get another interaction within classmates who share the same faith. We're a Christian organization that meets to talk about our faith.
How did you guys get into FCA?
Well, anyone can be a part of FCA as soon as they hit 7th grade in middle school, and it goes all the way through 12th grade, and you can speak whenever you want regarding, like, certain qualifications. But anybody, like Mariah said, Fellowship of Christian Anybodies, anybody is allowed to come anytime. It's welcome to everyone.
Yeah, specifically, we became huddle leaders because as we came up through the organization, we were speaking pretty frequently, giving these devotional style messages. And so our predecessors asked us, hey, would you like to be a huddle leader and help? Our main job is organizing who's speaking. So we have a schedule that we run and then we'll speak more often than like a regular attendee. So that's kind of how we became specifically huddle leaders is like I've been doing this since 7th grade, speaking over the years and was just asked to step up. I don't know about you, Claire, but.
Yeah, same. A couple years ago, I got to help with the worship night that we had. We aren't doing that this year, I don't think, but it's been such a pleasure and like I've loved doing this and being able to help peers and like get everyone to come and speaking like Mariah said. So, yeah.
So did you start out in 7th grade like or did you join in high school?
Yeah, I've been coming since 7th grade. I don't think I was actually asked to become a huddle leader till like sophomore, junior year because we've had huddle leaders like before us too. And I feel like this year isn't like once you've been in FCA for a while, that's when they tend to ask you.
What does a typical Friday morning look like?
So we come into the pit. We meet here in the study hall room in the pit. We'll have donuts and kind of just some free time. You can talk with your friends if you're getting there a little bit later. We say we try to start around 7. It's usually more of like 7:10 so that people can get into school. We'll start with, you know, a good morning, usually a prayer. And then whoever is speaking that week will be able to give their devotional style message somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes, depending on the speaker. And then you're dismissed. We're always out before the 7:25 bell.
How do you guys choose who speaks each week?
Well, we've come up with a schedule, especially this year. But if we come across, like, there's a Friday that we don't have a speaker, that's on our part, but we'll most likely step in as huddle leaders to make sure that there is a devotional. But otherwise, we definitely try to find, like, upperclassmen or juniors. I say upperclassmen, I'm underclassmen and juniors to speak so that they can one day become huddle leaders too.
Do you just meet on Friday mornings or is there other events outside of school that you guys might do?
So we actually have once each year we participate in the national See You at the Pole Day. So it's a morning, I think it's usually in September, where we meet instead of in the pit, we meet outside at the flagpole in front of the school. It's like on a Wednesday, like a one Wednesday in September that nationally every school that has FCA will meet. We'll stand around that flagpole and we'll pray. So we kind of do it in a style where anybody is welcome to pray. We go around the circle. If you don't want to, you don't have to. But that's our biggest outside of school. But then FCA, the organization, not necessarily just our school, has events like Fields of Faith and other conferences where people from all across the county can come join together.
What is the biggest group you guys have gotten to attend a meeting?
Oh.
Might have to think about it.
I feel like sometimes I'm really bad at estimating numbers of people, like 100.
Yeah, maybe? I'm not 100% like number wise, but we've definitely grown. Like I remember in middle school that we'd have like like 50 kids. And then once we got to high school, I was hearing that the middle school had like 75 after we had already left. And then the high school has grown to like over 100, which is awesome.
It's amazing that that stuff grows so quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. How does FCA help people outside of school?
I think it can be a really good starting point. Or if you're maybe you want to develop your faith, but you don't have a traditional church that your family goes to, or you're just not even sure what this faith thing is, like what is Christianity? It can be a really good, like getting your toe into the water of seeing, like interacting with other Christians and kind of starting to develop that understanding of what faith is to use as a launching board to start your own personal journey. We really, really encourage, like, FCA should not be the only thing you're doing. FCA should be in addition to your own personal Bible studies and your own personal attendance. So we try to really encourage faith outside of school with the encouragement from FCA.
That kind of builds off a question I was about to ask. How does it impact people? Like, how, what have you seen with people coming up to you? Like, has people just told you how this stuff changes their lives?
I can say, I think for me, the biggest one is seeing people come up and speak. So we are very, like there's a few guidelines you have to fall into, but generally we very open. Like earlier this year, we had a day where we were like, if anyone wants to speak, please come talk to us. We'll get connected to you. So we just open it up to anyone who comes to FCA regularly is welcome to approach us about speaking. And so seeing the people who have come up and telling, like them telling me, like, this really challenged my faith to have to speak, to really, it forces you to really get into the Bible and the Word of God and really be praying about what you're going to speak about. And so it really deepens your own faith as you're speaking. And so I've had people come up and tell me, like, this was something that God really laid on my heart, or like, I needed to hear this message that I gave myself. So that really, like, that's the biggest one that I've seen of this impacting people's lives.
Do you have anything?
Well, yeah, I also agree with that. That's definitely like the biggest, like, visible, because like, I believe that God like has orchestrated like any message that is given. And so he definitely like uses that for, even if it's only one person in the room, that person has an impact that can change someone else too.
Have you guys faced any challenges helping with FCA or just the FCA through our school in general?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit earlier, but we can't really recall a time where there's like been a specific challenge. Where we've been really thankful and like blessed with teachers and staff and adults who have been able to like help us. And like Miss Rydell is like a big one too. And Mr. Carpenter and Mariah's dad, Mike, they are all there every Friday and help us with everything and just help it run smoothly. Things we couldn't do.
So is there sponsors that go into FCA for us?
Yes. So because we are a club that meets here at the school, we have to have a teacher sponsor. So this year it's Mr. Carpenter. And then we also have some adults from our community who are like youth ministers or involved in teens ministry who will come help. We'll get like outside speakers sometimes. So other local youth ministers, those kind of adults that will come help us. And then, yeah, our sponsors through the school. So Mr. Carpenter and then Mr. Idell, who teaches at the middle school, will come help too.
You brought up earlier that FCA isn't just in our school. It's a bigger organization. Have you ever had a look into what it may look like for other schools or just the bigger picture outside of our school?
I've never got to attend an FCA like outside of school, but we'll have like the Madison County director. It's Jeff Mosier, right? He's the Madison County. Yeah, he'll come talk. No, it's Stan Doherty is the Madison County director who will come talk to us. And then Jeff Mosier is like the whole central Indiana. So we've got to have interactions with them and have them tell us like about these stories of things like Fields of Faith and how many people are attending and other FCAs within our county. Because FCA is not just like a Madison County thing. It's a national organization that our school is just one of many.
That's amazing. What is your guys' favorite memory from FCA? It can be any year.
I think my favorite memory, if it's any year, then it's probably getting to serve on the worship team. I like love serving like worship at my youth group and like church and everything. But getting to do it with like my peers alongside me, like who I don't see necessarily at like my church specifically, like getting to worship with kids who are from school it's been a really special opportunity. And you just see like people's lives change when they go up to pray or like hear the speaker at our worship nights. It's so amazing.
Yeah, my favorite is probably those See You at the Pole mornings that I was talking about. When you just get to see all these kids coming together and just pouring their hearts out to God about, you know, our community and our school, and just praying and seeing us all there, because we all like will hold hands just circling around this pole. And it's just like a very calming moment. Like it's in the morning in September. So I remember this year it was like we started to pray and it was like dark because the sun hadn't come up yet. And by the time we like opened our eyes at the end of the prayer, like the sun had risen. It was beautiful. And just like seeing that, like we have hot chocolate and it's just like a very community, like a smaller, more intimate moment of this community that we've built. And it's just a really awesome morning.
Is there anything else you would like to say about FCA? Maybe something that you wanted to talk about that I may have not touched on a question?
I can't think of anything specific, but we just do encourage like anybody who has like just like an inkling of an interest to like please come. Like we would love to meet you and be friends. And it's a great way to deepen your faith and just find the community that will help you do that in the long run.
So somebody wanted to come. Can you give the details again about?
Yes.
Times you meet
yes. So yes. Anyone is welcome. It's in the pit on Friday mornings at 7 to 7:10, you can arrive. We have donuts every week. Everyone is welcome there. Doesn't matter your level of faith or how involved you are with outside stuff. We'd love to see you there.
We've started having music in the hallways, so if you hear that on Friday mornings at 7, it's worship music. Definitely come in.
Follow the music.
Yes.
Sadly, that is all the time we have for this WEEM weekly segment. Again, I'm Callie Alex here, and I'm joined by
Mariah Kepfer
and Claire Carpenter.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Tune in and type up for 917WEEM.org, the greatest website for the greatest student-run radio station. Whatever you need, we've got it. From sports to podcasts to weather and more, we have everything you're looking for. It's all here on 917WEEM.
917WEEM. Welcome back to WEEM Weekly. My name is Hudson Kistler and I'm joined by
Mr. White here.
All right. So today we are going to be talking about kids camp, the radio camp. So,
right.
So, okay. So just to kind of start us off, what do you do here? Like, what is your position?
I am the general manager of 917WEEM, a non-commercial educational FCC licensed radio station inside Pendleton Heights High School. And then I'm also the radio and TV instructor for the classes that we run here for freshmen all the way up to seniors.
All right. And what is, just give us like a basic kind of rundown of what Kids Camp is.
Kids Camp is, it predates me. So it's a camp, a week-long camp where we bring in kids from kindergarten all the way up to seniors in high school who want to come in and do that, where they can come in and get a kind of a brief run through of what we do throughout the year. Like the kids learn a little bit about everything that we do. They go on the air. They learn how to audio edit a little bit. We get quite a few 8th graders who are going into their freshman year where they'll take the intro class. And so they'll come to camp and get a, you know, kind of a taste of what's going to happen in the fall. But it's a really neat experience for the kids to come in and learn and be able to talk on the air and say hi to their parents and grandparents and, you know, understand sort of the culture that we have here and be a part of something that's been a part of the community since 1971.
Nice. Yeah, so it's been around for a while. I didn't realize just how long it had been around, especially from when I came to kids camp.
Right.
Yeah. 50 years ago.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So can you give us like more of a broad answer of what we do here at kids camp?
So we, at the beginning of the week on that Monday, we come in and we kind of do a few icebreakers. We kind of get an idea of where everybody's at as far as age-wise. We have an idea first, but then we get everybody in the classroom. Then we see, okay, you know, are our groups good? Do we need to shuffle a little bit here? Because we have to break them up into groups because we have stages to where it's like, so one group's going to be on air, one group is going to be in voice tracking, one group is going to learn how to audio edits. One group is going to put together some posts possibly for Facebook or Instagram or whatnot, which I know that, again, at some point we'll talk about the favorite posts, which I know the kids love to do, that you guys love to instruct them to do, which is to make the wanted poster of me. So, but it's learning a little bit about everything as involving a, what we do on a daily basis here, what you guys do, you know, consistently, and, you know, you've grown from when you were a camper, all the way up to where you're at now. It's just a small taste of that. Some small bit of learning how the computers work, learning how to, set up the microphones, you know, what the cameras are all doing. And understanding that it may look complicated and it may look very intimidating, but at the same time, you get used to it, you get to know it, and you have people around you who are good at it. And then they start to, you know, become more familiar, more comfortable with themselves. And they can just, you know, in the past, you know, and because you went through it, they chat about everything, you know, and on whether they're on the air or they're in here talking about, you know, the whatever podcast that they're recording for the day. They love talking about their favorite Marvel movies or their favorite cereals or whatever. So it's just a little bit of everything that's trying to get them to have an idea of what we do. You know, it helps the parents out too, because it gives them sort of an idea of maybe their kid wants to do this at the high school level or and beyond or not, which is fine. You know, it's something to where, though, we're a unique experience here because we're not many high schools in America have the setup like what we have. So we're very fortunate, and we want to offer that opportunity though to the kids in the community that, you know, aren't high school age, but yet they have an interest in something like this.
Yeah. So how can like the skills that you learn from kids camp, how can that help, you know, kids wanting to go into intro and then mm-hmm. advanced, or even kids that maybe don't want to do it, but it can still like somehow help them later?
It's important to just become, you know, familiar with the equipments and understanding the procedures and the practices. And we give them a small dose of that. And it's important to, you know, get a firsthand knowledge and firsthand experience so that when you step into it, it's not something foreign. It's not something you've never experienced before, not something you've never seen before. It's something that you've done before. You did it, you know, multiple times before you even got to intro. So I guess that's my question to you then. Well, how did you feel about when you were a camper before you even got to intro? You know, did kids camp help you?
I didn't remember a single thing.
So, you know, it's sunny that where I get like folks like you, kids like you that have, you know, taken it multiple years, like you were in it multiple years before you even got to the intro class and now into the advanced side. So, you know, it's just, again, it's a little thing, 'cause it's only a week, right? It's only 4 days, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to noon. And so we're just trying to get you to do little things here to kind of expose you to the microphones and the cameras and the soundboards and the lights and everything. And so making sure that it's important to just say like, this looks intimidating, but it's not, you know, it's all about just understanding how it works and what the process is and how to make it something where it's, everybody can do this, right? But you're the only you, and using your voice and, you know, being able to communicate properly and effectively is basically what we're always teaching, and just, you know, trying to expose that to a younger generation sooner before they get even close to the intro class.
Yeah. How many students would you say have come from the camps and then moved on into intro and advanced?
I'd say between, you know, for the last 5 years, we've had at least 20, you know, so it's just understanding the fact that, because we get between 30 and 50 a year. When we first started, it was between 20 and 30. And then I think last year we had 47. And so we're just continually getting a little bit more every year. But I'd say, you know, we definitely started with a handful, and then we're starting to see more and more every year. And it's just exciting to see, you know, the kids, you know, growing up, you know, where we started when they were just like this high. And then all of a sudden, you know, now they're at my, you know, you're at my level, like, you know, we're seeing eye to eye. And, you know, that Hudson, that when we got to that point, I was not ready for that, because I'm still used to you being, you know, the fifth grader that I met a long time ago. So it's like, you know, being from that to where we're at now, it's pretty neat to see the growth from the kids who were, you know, just looking to understand how the radio worked and just say hi to mom on the air, to learning how to communicate effectively, edit properly, and being able to use these tools to help them hopefully in the future, maybe gain employment, maybe just to be able to express themselves properly, you know, anything and everything possible.
Through the kids camp, what are some like the most popular activities? Like, what are some of the favorites of the kids?
Like I said before, I think when they make the wanted posters of me, that's definitely something that they enjoy doing. You know, I think the advanced staff love it too. I think the biggest thing is going on the air and saying hi to their folks and their friends, saying their favorite things, right? You know, their favorite cereals or Marvel characters or whatnot. It's all a way of communicating something to where it's like, it's just a conversation that they're having with their buddies, but now they're having it with, I say millions, it's not millions, but it's like, you know, a lot of people that are listening to the radio station or, you know, just when we're having just the closed loop settings here, because we don't ever produce the podcast, but we bring them in here and we set them up, you know, we have, you know, three seats besides the seats that you're sitting in or the seat you're sitting in. So it's like, okay, how do we communicate? How do we get through this without spending 30 minutes on why Tommy's shoes are green? You know, and or why Becky's not feeling good. You know, it's like, how do we get to the point of like, this is the top five movies that we're talking about, or this is your favorite. Why is this your favorite cereal? And, you know, oh, it's just because, you know, all we go from that to like, well, it tastes good. It looks good. It's got, I like the box, I like the, you know, the toys that come in the cereal too. So all the little things that, you know, we start from kids who we know they can communicate. And their parents can express that to us too. And so now we're trying to expose them to a way of, you know, understanding that they can communicate effectively and they can enjoy doing something like this, you know, as far as being able to have a conversation that's fun, that's engaging, that allows them to possibly even have a career, have a livelihood because of it.
Yeah. I remember it was always kind of pretty cool and special to hear my voice on the radio, especially, mm-hmm. you know, coming home, I turned on the radio and me shouting out my mom and dad. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And so for any viewers that are listening or watching and are interested, is there just kind of any basic knowledge just to know about it?
So all the information is online, 917weem.org. There's the sign up sheet. The deadline's coming up here. I think it's May 16th. So watch out for that. And then there's also a way to pay online, but also, you know, we do need the form signed. So you need to sign the form and send it in to us. All the information's on that form. And then if you don't want to pay electronically, you just send in a cash or a check along with the signed form into us. And we look forward to seeing everybody that signed up already. We've got already quite a few signed up. So looking forward to seeing them come June, I think it's 18th, you know, something like that. So, you know, it gets here sooner and sooner every year. And it's always a week we look forward to because it's just, you know, we see kids that we've seen for many years. We also get a you know, quite a few new ones. So it's always a mix of people like, hey, how you doing, Jack? Or what's up, Gus? And then it's also getting to interview or getting to talk to new students who possibly might have an interest in, what we do here as far as just educating in the media, sphere, media atmosphere, media industry.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's probably going to wrap it up today. Thank you for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Well, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, we will see you all next episode. Bye.
Listen to Inside the Playbook, the WEEM Sports Podcast, to get ahead of the game with a deep dive into the game-changing plays and recaps of past sporting events. Find Inside the Playbook anywhere you listen to podcasts or watch the vodcast on YouTube at WEEM Media. I'm ready to go inside the playbook. Are you?
917 WEEM. Welcome back to We Thought You Might Like to Know. My name is Callie Oxier, and I am joined by
Gary Rhodes.
What do you do within the school?
I work in the business department. I run the work-based learning program. I teach a couple of business courses, business math, personal finance, and I coach a couple of sports, soccer and wrestling.
Do you also run the co-op system for our school?
Work-based learning is another term for co-op.
What is the work-based learning?
So work-based learning is a really cool program that we have where students get to basically for three periods a day decide potentially what they do or don't want to do for the rest of their lives. So it works in a way where they're with me for one period every day. This semester, it was first or second period. And in that class, they basically learn how to run a business. We run Arabian Stable out of the work-based learning program. And so they design shirts, they market stuff, they do the bulletin boards for Arabian Stable. They go out to the other schools and sell different designs that we make. They actually manufacture the shirts in the classroom. They take the transfers that we design and press them onto t-shirts and hoodies, and just learn kind of some of the different soft skills and things that employers are looking for. And then the part that everybody seems to like the most is during sixth and seventh period, they get to leave every day and go to their job. So they basically get 3 credits, get to leave school early, and make money working at their job while everybody else is still doing sixth and seventh period every day.
Why is it important to get students working during high school?
I mean, for lots of different reasons. I think it's important just to learn when your mistakes aren't super detrimental to your future. Learning how to take constructive criticism and figure out how to navigate a corporate structure and what bosses and employers are going to be looking for you. There's a lot to it. And if you can start to figure it out while you're in high school, I think you're much more likely to climb the ladder at whatever profession you choose when you're older, because you come in with a level of experience that students that have never worked before don't always have. And it's been really awesome in the experience that I've had so far, because it's completely changed the trajectory of, you know, what some people are planning to do post high school. I had a student my first year running the co-op program, the work-based learning, and her job was as a pre-K teacher, and she was pretty certain that she wanted to be an early childhood education major when she went to college. She was very smart, very motivated. She worked really hard, and she actually got a scholarship that gave her a full ride to the University of Alabama, and she had planned to go and take the scholarship and be a teacher, which is cool. But then through doing work-based learning and having exposure to what it actually looks like to do the job that she was preparing to go spend 4 years learning how to do, she realized that she didn't really like working with kids the way that she thought she did. And, you know, so she came to me about halfway through the year, and she asked me if she could get a new job. And I said, sure, but first tell me why you want to switch jobs. And she told me that I don't agree with her, but like, I understand where she's coming from. She told me that little kids are monsters. And I said, interesting, tell me more. And she said, well, one of them tried to stab me with a pair of scissors. Another one that gets in trouble quite a bit put glue in my chair. And so I sat on glue, and then I had glue all over myself for the rest of the day. And it's just not quite what I thought it was going to be. So I want to do something else. And so I think that's the most valuable piece of it. You know, some kids have an idea of what they want to do, and it aligns with their interest and their values and their skills, and it's going to be a great fit. And sometimes we find out an even more valuable lesson, and that lesson is that we don't know what we don't know. And work-based learning is a low-risk place to learn that lesson. I would have hated for her to go off to college, get a whole degree for free, and then end up back in college in a few years because she realizes that she doesn't really like the thing that she went to college for. And so from that perspective, it's, I think, more valuable than just about anything else we do in school. We give kids a way to test out what they think they want to do, and then it either reaffirms that and kind of sends them down that path, or for some of them, it stops them from making a huge mistake. So,
how long has the work-based program been a thing at our high school?
I mean, it preceded me. It was already ongoing before I got here. When I took it over, I revamped it. We still have a lot of kids that do jobs that my hope is that it's not going to be their long-term career. You know, this is my second career. I come from the restaurant world. I was pretty high up in Waffle House. I owned my own restaurant for a period of time. So I don't think there's anything wrong with working in restaurants, but we have a lot of kids that do that. And that was pretty much all it was before I took over. And then within the last 3 years, we've created a lot of opportunities within our own community and the surrounding community where kids are now doing different jobs. We've had kids work for places like Pepper Construction, where they're taking on jobs like being an engineering intern or a project manager intern. We've placed kids in some of the trades where they're doing millwork and pipe fitting and different things like that. And so I can't answer you exactly how long the program's been around, but in its current iteration, that's more focused on, I think, more specialized, more focused careers. It's been about 3 years now.
How can a student qualify for this? Is this just something that they decide they want to give up their electives and take it? Or is there certain things that you have to meet to be able to take it?
So the short answer is there's two real barriers to entry, and neither one of them is that hard to clear. The first one is that you have to be far enough along with your credits that you can afford to spend 3 credits to be in the program, because you have to be in my class for a period and then you have to be able to leave 6th and 7th period. So if you have not handled all of your academics accordingly through the first 3 years of school, it can be more difficult. But as long as you have 3 open spots, that's the first thing. And then the next thing is there are nationally mandated requirements that have to be able to be met for your job. You have to be able to work at least 15 hours a week. You need to be working Monday through Friday. During 6th and 7th period, you need to get at least 8 to 12 hours a week during Monday through Friday, during that time frame. And honestly, that's it. Outside of that, once the program starts to get full, we offer 2 sections of it. I start looking for kids that are trying to do more than just leave school to go, you know, work at McDonald's or Wendy's or the gas station or something. And I save the last handful of spots for kids that really want to try out something. They, you know, think they want to be an engineer, and so we set up an internship for them. Or, you know, they think they want to be involved in finance, and so we get them in with a tax company or a bank or something like that. But that's pretty much it.
How many students do you currently have enrolled in the program?
We typically run about 45 to 50 kids a year in the work-based learning program.
If a student wants to go into it their senior year, how can they get involved and how can they say they want to make that decision?
All they really have to do is come talk to me. I'll give them some paperwork. There is an application. There's a parent consent form. There is an employer consent form. And I give them all of that. They take it, get it filled out, get it turned back into me. Then I give them the green light, and then they can go talk to whoever their specific guidance counselor is and let them know that they want to get it on their schedule.
Is there any tips you might want to give a student who is maybe struggling with balancing their work and school and maybe like a sport?
You know, it's hard. You have to prioritize what's important to you. And like, I can't set that for a person. I think when you're this age, outside of family and maybe church, the 3 that you mentioned should be the highest 3 priorities on your list. But I think it's going to vary from person to person. For me, when I was in high school, I cared the most about academics and my sports. And so I knew I was going to be at school on certain days at certain times. And so it was like that was the base of my schedule. And then I knew that playing three sports a year, there were going to be not many days, Monday through Friday, where I didn't have some kind of practice until at least, 5 o'clock. And so I wanted to have money. That was important to me. So I knew that when I was looking for a job, I had to find a job that would allow me to work after 5 o'clock on Monday through Friday, or was willing to give me hours on the weekends. And so I took that information with me as I was looking for a job, and then like kind of built my schedule that way, knowing the things that couldn't change or I wasn't willing to change, and then filling out the rest of my schedule with things that were a good fit for me. The last thing that you want to do is feel like you're failing across all fronts, right? Like you're working too much, and so now you're not taking care of your school, or between school and your job, you don't leave yourself any time to do things you enjoy, like play sports. It's probably going to sound funny coming from the teacher that, sends kids to work every day. But my honest thought on the situation is you have the rest of your life to work. You only have this limited amount of time to be a kid and enjoy yourself. So I think, if you don't like sports, it's not a big deal. But if you're a person that likes extracurriculars, it doesn't even have to be sports. It could be marching band or choir or drama or something like that. I think it's important to make time for that and then have the realization that you're going to have the rest of your life to work. So, don't make that the piece, the job, the thing that you have to build everything else around, because as you get older, your priorities are going to change. And that job is, for most people, going to become the focal point of what you're doing. So there are lots of people that are hiring. There are lots of people that are willing to take on internships. And if you're up front with them and you're thorough and you make sure you have, all your ducks in a row, there are going to be businesses that are willing to work with your schedule. So just make sure you know what you want. Make sure you know what your availability is. And then be honest with people when you're talking to them. Don't tell them you can work, every day until 8 o'clock, and really you don't get out of practice until 5, and then you have games some days, and so there are going to be days you can't work. Like, you're going to set yourself up for failure. It's important to be aware and be honest, and I think everything else will take care of itself if you are.
Thank you so much for joining me. Sadly, that is all the time we have. Again, I'm Callie Alex here, and I was joined by...
Thanks for having me.